Good morning and welcome once again to our study on the Lord's Day morning. We trust that you'll be able to stay with us for these 15 minutes as we're in the Gospel according to John chapter 1. Let's look first to the Lord in prayer. Father, again, we come into your presence thanking you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift him up, the one whose name is above every name. Father, we just pray that those that are listening might be encouraged by the word, and any lost soul listening today might be convicted by your Spirit. We pray, Father, that it will be shown to one that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by him. We thank you for our wonderful Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Today we're at verse 9 of John chapter 1. In previous studies, we've began the outline from chapter 1, verse 1, on through the middle of chapter 1, being the testimony of our Lord by way of the Word, by way of the light, and by way of the flesh. And we're in the midst, and Lord willing, we'll finish up the section about Him being the testimony by way of the light today, from verses 9 to 13. We looked last time at John the Baptist, not the same John that the Lord used by his inspiration to write this book. That was John, one of the apostles. But here we see, verse 6, 7, and 8, it was speaking of John the Baptist, who came to bear witness of the light. And here we see the true light being Christ in verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. We'll just stop right there for the moment. Now we see the true light being our Lord Jesus Christ. But we also know that the false light, there are many false lights out in the world, but the false light is Satan, the god of this world. When we turn over to Genesis chapter 3, back in the Garden of Eden, how there was only one command that had been given to Adam. It says, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. Now, when we come to chapter 3, and Adam and Eve are both there in the garden, we see that Satan, the false light, the one of subtlety, the one of deception, has come in and deceived Eve. He twists around the word from the Lord. He deceives, and we see how mankind is plunged into sin by Adam willfully taking of the fruit after his wife had been deceived. We see back in John chapter 1 that our Savior is the true light. We see that the god of this world, Satan, back in chapter 3, is the false light. You know, he was an angel, a beautiful angel in glory, and rebelled against the Most High God. He said, I will be like the Most High. And he was cast out of heaven. Pride. Satan, the false light. Now we see in that line of thought also in verse 9 of John 1, that this true light lighteth every man that cometh into the world. This tells us of how our Lord has given opportunity for every man and woman and child the opportunity to be saved. You see, we have a conscience. We know that we are sinners. We have the Word of God. We have light. Different people in different parts of the world have different amounts of light. We know that even out in the jungle they have the light of creation, knowing that there is God. But we see here in John, speaking of how he lights every man that comes into the world. I'd like to look at 1 Timothy for a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 2, it tells us this, mentions every man in verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. He desires all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. He goes on to say, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. We see in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. He desires that all would come unto him. He says also in our study in John, as we turn over to chapter 12 and verse 32, he mentions this, speaking of how he'd be raised upon the cross, and if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he says, signifying what death he should die. Now we see that yes, he was lifted up upon that cross, and he's the light to every man that comes into the world. Yet, many, many have and will reject this true light. Oh, he gives opportunity. He has become the light of the world. Yet, many will reject the light, for men would rather be in darkness. Now, we also see in 1 John 2:2, over there, the same John wrote this. When we get over to the epistle of 1 John, here's another wonderful verse that makes it clear of who he came to save. Chapter 2, verse 2, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. My friend, are you out there listening today saying that no one has given me an opportunity, no one has paved the way for me to be saved, to know God, to be in heaven? The scripture declares that he is the light of every man that cometh into the world. He lighteth every man. Will you receive that light into your heart? Let's go on with that thought of receiving him. Let's look now at verse 10, where it says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was in the world, but he was not of the world. Notice this, that he also made the world. Our Savior was not created. Also, he was unknown by the world. The world would say, we will not have this man to rule over us. As we continue to look in verse 11, more specifically, he came, it says, unto his own, and his own received him not. The nation of Israel rejected their true Messiah. They would not have him to rule over them. Today, they are still, by and large, looking for the coming of their Messiah. And he has already come. But the time that he comes next will be his second coming, when he will take his saints to be with him, and then come as well to put his feet upon Mount Olives and come in judgment. So they did not receive him. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. My friend, would you receive him before his second coming? Before he comes in the air for the saints, and then later with his feet upon the mount? Today is the day of salvation. Israel has rejected their Messiah, and many of the Gentiles in this world as well, the nations round about, have rejected the true light. Now, as we see in verse 11, speaking of having not received him, there's a great contrast over in verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Here is the great contrast. Instead of those that have not received him, it's as many as receive him. That's pretty inclusive, isn't it? John 14:6 is inclusive and exclusive. John 14:6 Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That is exclusive, meaning that he is the only way, truth, and the life. Not a way, not a truth, not a life, but the way, the truth, and the life. And you must come through him to go to the Father in heaven. But it's also inclusive in that, as he says here, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. My friend, it's inclusive, meaning he gives you the opportunity to be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, when it says he gave the power, that's the authority, that's what that word means. He has given authority to those that receive him to become the sons of God. That's the children of God. You know, it's not everyone that has been born in this world that is a child of God. Yes, he's our creator, but here we're speaking of a relationship. The children of God are those that are in his family by a second birth, being born again. Our first birth was by his creation, but when we're saved, we have the new man created in us. We're born again. This is what it's speaking of in verse 12. That he has given power, authority to become the children of God to those that receive him. But notice in verse 13, a clarification of what has just been noted in verse 12. In verse 13 it says this, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, I've got a little comment here from a good brother, H.A. Ironside, on the subject here. And he was noting the three different knots here. Not of blood, nor the will of man, or the will of the flesh, and the will of man. Now, when we see it's not by blood, now we know it is by the blood of Christ that we're saved. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. But we see here, speaking not of blood, meaning our own parents. You know, when you have Christian parents, this is not good enough for you to be a Christian. No parent can save their children. Oh, they can lead them in the ways and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But you must be born by the blood of the cross, not by inheriting anything from your parents. Your parents may be real believers in Christ. But this is not something we inherit from our parents. So it's not by blood in that sense. It's not by the will of the flesh. Our brother Ironside makes a good note here that it's like a soldier. Someone can't just go to the army surplus store and buy some clothes and dress up and look like a soldier and say, oh, from this day on, I'm going to walk into a local church and I'm going to be a Christian. No. It's by the second birth, by being born again, spiritually born from above. You know, many people have just done that very thing, thinking they can be born by the will of their own flesh. They'll just decide one day, I'm going to have my name put on the roll call and I'm going to be a member of the local church. My friend, there are probably, the Lord knows, but thousands of people in hell today that were members of a local church. Whether they heard the gospel there or not, they've had their names on the roll call for decades, yet died in their sins, having not been born again, and they're in hell today. Yes, church members, maybe even very moral people, but without being born again, it is futile to depend upon that. It's not by the will of your flesh. And you can go on and it says, not by the will of man, you know, such as being baptized or being given certain religious ordinations and such. This will never save you. No man can save you. Oh, a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can lead you, point you to the Lord. But salvation is by the Lord himself, in Christ, by the Spirit of God alone. Are you born again? If you notice there, verse 13, which were born, if you take out the three knots, it would say, which were born of God. Have you been born of God? This is Mike Moody along with Jeff Buckles in the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry.